Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
Believe it's not for you. It's not what you do. There's no kindergartner that's like, I can't do math, or I can't run, or I can't be athletic, or I can't fill in the blank. It's beautiful because it's this pure realization that I can engage and do this thing. And one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about worship, and we want to talk specifically, worship's actually a bigger word. It means lots and lots of things. It's not just restricted to the singing that we do. So we'll use those words interchangeably, but I don't mean to. We're specifically talking about singing worship that we do here. It's something that gets in our head a little bit. And I can remember clearly growing up, my mom listens to the podcast when we put it, so Mom, I'm so sorry for everything I'm about to say. But I remember being in church with my mom, and we would open up the hymnal, and we would sing along in the songs. And as I got older and older, I could hear my mom's voice and how high it was. And every once in a while, I would see the people in front of us kind of like do one of these. Like, it's not, you're way too close to just fully turn around and face the person behind you, right? But it's like, what is happening behind me? Is there, and I began to be like embarrassed on behalf of my mom. Like, if you're singing like that, don't sing so loud, right? Muffle it a little bit, or sing it in a different way. But as I've grown up, there's something really, really beautiful about that. While the rest of us are conditioned to only listen to the best of the best of the best vocally, what we do here in church is not a vocal performance. It's different than that. It's actually a lot of things. And so we call it praise. We're going to talk about that. But it's something more than that. And the word that we want to use to define this is liturgy. Liturgy, the definition of that is a pattern or path of worship or to worship. And liturgies are used in lots of different churches. A lot of times they are verbal. They're spoken. Someone will read the liturgy of the day. But singing in worship is another form of liturgy. It's a path or a pattern to worship, to understanding who God is and responding to that God. And so in a little bit with the way that we've changed our message series, we have this thing that we do every week called the call to worship. And if you have never heard the call to worship, you're my favorite because you're like me. That means that you're always just a little bit late because it's the very first thing that happens in our service. And my favorite thing is I'll probably ask you at some point to do it. I just send out emails, and we have different people come up and read. And my favorite is when people are like, what is that? I've never heard that. I'm like, aw, you're adorable. You're like me. You show up late all the time. But we're doing it in the middle of service today. The call to worship is a liturgy. It's a pronouncement in the morning of kind of setting and framing what the whole service is about and what this thing that we're doing about. And so I'm grateful that Sherry is going to be reading the call to worship this morning. It's a form of liturgy, and so is our singing. So is leading into it. Also, the singing thing is not new. It's been practiced by churches and Christian churches from the earliest times. We actually have some verses here to look at that kind of illustrate this. This is Psalm 95, 1 and 2. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. This is actually very appropriate that it's in Psalms, because the Psalms are actually, they're worship songs. David, who became king, this is what he did. He would play the lyre and he would write songs. So you're reading, this is a totally dated reference, but like maybe not dated enough for some of you. You're reading like the little insert in the CD, in the jewel case, right? It's the lyrics to the songs that David wrote. That's what they were. In Matthew 26, this was tied into Jesus. Right after they finished the Last Supper, it says, and they sung a hymn and they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is something that would have been very much done all throughout Jewish churches in synagogues in the earliest form of worship. And this is my favorite in Ephesians. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Do not get drunk on wine." It's a great way to start a verse, which leads to debauchery. "Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Part of the reason I love this verse is it reminds me of one of my favorite stories of all time. So now we share it. When I was growing up, and I was like in my out-of-college years, I hung out with a bunch of Christian kids. And we did non-20-year-old things, right? A number of 20-year-old Americans like do all kinds of like partying and hanging out. They explore, right? And I did like Bible studies and singing. So we were in Turlock, California with my friend Ezekiel Morphis, real name. Also, I love that his middle name is Brian. I love that they just hid the normal name in the middle. So Ezekiel Morphis and I are driving in his brown 1988 Ford Mustang. Awesome. And we pull up, because we're looking for a friend's house, and we pulled up on these three people about the same age that were just walking on the sidewalk, and we said, "Hey, do you know where Tim lives?" Which is always a great question. And they said, "Why, are you going to get drunk?" And Zeke goes, "Yeah, we're getting sloppy drunk on the love of Jesus." And this next part I'll never forget. This girl, without batting an eye, goes, "That sucks." And then my friend Zeke did a donut, and we drove off. I love it. It reminds me of that, because basically what that verse in Ephesians is saying is that there's this expression that comes out of us. There's this freeness that worship is supposed to bring about, this tying into something deep in our souls. It's some of what we're going to be talking about. It's like before we can even articulate things into words, there's something that we express from within us. And it's saying, don't get drunk on wine, get drunk on worship. You know what I mean? Allow yourself to step fully into this experience and experience something different. There are answers of the world for how we tie into this part of ourselves, and it's saying it's another way. It's another way that we experience this. It's filled throughout Scripture. So here's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, kind of introducing the theme, but we're going to look at three different ways that worship can function for you. The first is worship, singing and worship can be framing. This is what I mean by that. A lot of our experiences, the way that we view the world, the way that we interpret data, has a lot to do with the frames that we put over events. So, it's Thanksgiving, and you're like, "Oh, we have to go to so-and-so's house for Thanksgiving. This is going to be terrible." Guess how that experience normally goes. The terrible thought that you had on that, it shades and frames a lot of the experiences. Right? If you're going to meet someone and someone says, "Oh, this person says terrible, inappropriate jokes all the time." When they go, "Hey, I heard a joke," you already start cringing. You know what I mean? When worship is a framing for how we come into this space and this experience. So this is why this is so important. The framing is saying this is how we engage in God, and this is the God that we're talking about. This is the God that we're worshiping here. A lot of times what holds us back from engaging in worship is, I don't know if I believe the lyrics of these songs. I don't know that I can say these things right now. And when we engage in worship as a framing experience, and this is how we understand who God is, then there's a freedom to say, and I hope you all know this, if you don't, I'm going to say it now, you don't have to believe all the lyrics of the song to sing them and engage them. There's nothing legally binding about singing out a certain thing and say, "I heard you. I was like two rows back. You said it. You're totally a Christian now." we step into this experience to say, what is this God that we're singing about? Who is this God? And so a big part of that is this is the framework for how we step into prayer, which normally in our service follows the worship. This is how we step into the message. This is how we interpret the things that are being preached up here about God and who God is. So it might be helpful for some of you as we go into this, say this is framing how we understand who God is. The second one, and this has been true throughout history, is it's education. If you get to a pre-literate society, which, congratulations, you are in the vast majority of human, a minority of human history, and that you live in a predominantly literate society. This is new. Ta-da! Sparkly and new and exciting. In a pre-literate society, worship and singing is a great way to communicate truths that people can't go read on their own. And so there's an education that happens in these songs. There's a thing that we're learning about who God is. We're learning about theology. Theology is just the word that means the study of God. It's a way that we learn new things. And so for some of you, maybe we engage in that and say, what can I learn from worship today about who God is, about what this Christianity thing is? The last one is praise. For some of us, we have grown up, we've been it, we say, I know that God is with me. I know that God is good. Doesn't mean that things won't be hard or difficult, but I know that God is at work even in the hard things. So I sing these songs as an outflow of praise, of thanksgiving, of I am grateful that I am here today. I'm alive and I'm breathing. Praise God for that. And it can be that expression. Now, here's what's beautiful about worship. It can be all of those things at the same time. It can be one of those things. It can be none of those things. How we engage in stepping into it and asking the question that Tom asked in prayer, why am I here today? What's going in is the kind of thoughts that we want to start generating, because there's not one answer. That's why we're having the conversation. So with that, I want to invite Bradley to come on up, if you would welcome Bradley. So Bradley is, you're one of our worship leaders. And tell us a little bit about yourself first so people know who you are. Yeah, all that good stuff.
I wasn't prepared for that question. I have all these thoughts and that's not one of them. I'm Bradley, as we've gone over. And I love worship. And that's, I don't know, I'm 5'9".
Oh, yeah, that's good. 5'9".
26 years old, balding already.
Oh.
Yeah, we're in it together.
Welcome.
Though.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel good. I'm getting there.
Yeah,
getting
we got plenty of room here for balding. Cool. We got solutions for you. And married, yeah?
Yes, married. This is my lovely wife, Sarah, over here.
Yeah.
She's the best person in the world. So, knowing anything about
take
me,
that,
it's that
the rest of you,
my wife is the best person in the world, and that's
she
most
really
of my
is
life.
Fantastic, and you should get
she
to
really,
that.
She really, really is.
So here's the question that we're going to ask all the people who lead worship, and I ask you now: what has worship meant to you over the years, and how has that stayed the same, and how has it changed?
Excellent. So first, because I'm the type of person that can go off the rails, obviously, I have a quick prayer that I have to say before I go. God, grant me clarity to say only what you want me to say and nothing else. Amen. So I'd like to start with a story, as most things start with. Back in the day, I loved singing, and I had a famous Elvis impression that I'd do on the hearth of my house for my parents. You don't get that impression. It's kind of worn out of me. But I always sang, and it was my favorite thing. So I had a young attachment to music, and then enter seventh grade for me. Life of trauma enters. So I was in a choir in seventh grade, and I was selected to sing a solo in a concert. Ooh, big things happening. So that means that like I could carry a tune a little bit. The problem is I was a first soprano. So if you don't know what that means Mariah Carey in a seventh grade boy, without all the skill and talent. So I get up there in front, and I'm just, like, jacked. I'm just like, I'm ready to go. And I sing, water makes the river, wash the mountain, fire makes the sunlight, turn the world around. And that was it. Enter the ridicule in front of your peers, being a seventh grade boy singing that high and off key in front of everyone. And so that was really important because that entered a time of my life where shame of my voice came in. And I was scared to sing. And from then on in church, I mouthed the words without singing them because I was afraid of somebody hearing me. Luckily, our God keeps working on us, right? So later in my life, 10th grade, I go to Mexico on a missions trip. And another song that I'll hack for you here. We're there, and they do church differently in Mexico. And it's kind of awesome, right? Like, they're all like, they're dancing around, and they're having so much fun, and there's like six tambourines waving around up front. And there's this song that everyone's clapping and like, "Ay Victoria, Ay Victoria, Ay Victoria en el nombre de Jesus." That song broke me. I mean, that kind of participation from the people who you look around and they had so much less than I had, and they could not shut up. They're just like, "God is so good, and I have no response but to praise in return." So I came back from that trip, and God and I had a pact that no matter what I sounded like, I would never stop singing again. And I haven't. And so that frames my experience of why I'm a worship leader. And when I look back on that experience and try to think what it is about music that's so special to me, I think there's a lot of things. Music is beautiful, and you don't meet a person that's like, music, whatever. I don't like that stuff. Music is bigger than human experience. It's like, it's something about it that it's bigger than the sum of its parts. Like, you see these notations on a page, and music is so much more than just what's on that page there. It's an expression from a human to another human. Like, we can appreciate the art that another person made. And there's a reason why you cry in your car when you're listening to Coldplay. Or whatever does it for you. I don't know, maybe it's Nickelback, and it's like, you want to be a big rock star. But for me, like, I can listen to a song. Like, I remember the first time I heard Fix You by Coldplay in my car. Oh, my goodness. I just wept, and I showed up to this place. It's completely inappropriate. I'm going to a birthday party, and I'm just like, I just got done crying. Like, are you sad about anything? No. It's a beautiful song on the radio, and it just captured my heart. And I think that there's something about that with music and worship that when we can engage and we can sing, and then you enter the presence of God and mixing that into it, and there's something about it that changes our souls, that meets us on a deep level, a deep personal human level, that we encounter our God through music and experiencing that together. And without that, like, I don't know. I don't think I'd be here. Because for me, there's a lot of times in my life where I let reasoning and logic and, like, things have to line up on the page. You know, I can go through a theology textbook in college and be met with this reality of, like, I'm not sure about anything. I don't know what's going on. And without this deeper expression of God meeting us there, like, we meet a God that is bigger than logic, that I can't explain why the hair stands up on the back of my neck. I'm sure a good scientist could, but I can't. Why stuff like that happens when we encounter this God through musical worship. And so it means everything to me. It's like how I connect to God in the times when I don't feel like connecting anywhere else.
And so here's part of what's so beautiful. That might be you. You might be nodding your head and being like, yeah, me too. Or you might say, nah, like, it's just music, man. Like, I've heard that before. But this is what's beautiful about community and church. What would it be like today to engage in worship knowing that there are people sitting around you, that this is tapping into something so deep within them? This is expressing grace and peace and love that for others we'd have to read about or hear about someone talking about it to get it. And it's being expressed deeply. This is one of our core values as a church, and understanding that we engage things in diversity. And so we share different stories because it gives us an appreciation for something, even if that's not our story, even if that's not the way that we engage in it. So I love that. I love your passion, and I love how it's touched you throughout the years. So what we want to do now, and this is, I'm excited about this, we asked each worship leader to pick one song that really speaks to them. And we want to talk about a little bit why it speaks to them, what it kind of says to them. And so the song that Bradley chose is Be Thou My Vision. It's a hymn that's been around for a long, long time. And when he told me he chose it, I was all excited because it was sung at our wedding. I'm a big fan. But for the first time ever, I looked at the history. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to talk a little bit about the history and background, and then Bradley's going to walk through some of the lyrics and what really has spoke to him, why it's one that's so significant. So there's been different iterations throughout the years of Be Thou My Vision. 1964, it came into the Wesleyan hymnal, and this is kind of the version that we know and sing today. But it was written in, get this, this is fun. It was written at about 560.
That's pretty old.
That is very old, by Dallin Forgaill. So if you ever heard the hymn or the song, you'll hear it. It's Irish. So you can kind of hear the hymn. And he was an Irish poet. And he was blind. He was blind since birth. Dallin means little blind one, which I still long for the days when we just name our kids like this is the most obvious thing about them. You're brown hair. So Dallin Forgaill wrote this poem, and then it got put to music, and it became this one. So when he is talking about Be Thou My Vision, do you see the change and how we understand it differently when it's written by someone who's blind? And then I told Bradley I had to. This is just fun fact. It's not funny because he died, but this is the best death I've ever heard of in my life. Dallin Forgaill died in 598 on Irish Keel, which is an island in Ireland, because he was beheaded by pirates. Pirates came to the monastery and beheaded him. And this is the icon. I know it's blurry, but it's the icon because he was beheaded. You see that little like sliver of light? And the belief, the story about him is that God reattached his head before removing him from the earthly plane. He is now a saint in this tradition. So that's who wrote. That's how we get Be Thou My Vision. So Bradley, get us to the good stuff. Talk about the lyrics and what speaks to you.
From beheading to holiness, something like that.
I set you up well.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason that I chose Be Thou My Vision, not because I'm kind of Irish and I like Irish hymn stuff, even though that's cool, but Be Thou My Vision expresses something that's like the second thing that musical worship really helps me do. I don't know about you, but I'm not a person who always sits quietly well. I mean, I can sit on my hands and not have to be moving or whatever. But when I just sit, my mind is just, it's just going on, and I can't keep a train of thought. Like I don't have calmness and peace in my mind when I'm sitting there. I start stressing about what I'm going to make for dinner or what's going on at work. I have a lot of trouble with stillness in silence. And so Be Thou My Vision is a song that I think frames peace like within a melody. It's a song that takes away the distractions of life and centers us on the vision that God has for us, that there's more going on here than just the day-to-day distractions. One of the lines that just kind of haunts me and sticks in my mind is, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. Just that in this world, like there's just so much to distract us, darkness, but then there's this quiet stillness that God has, that whether we're awake or we're asleep, like there is a presence of God that's our light leading us forward in life. And then the third verse where it gets into riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. I think in my life there's so much that I dedicate toward achieving and being good at things and just running the rat race that we're all in life. Whether I'm trying to achieve stability or recognition or whatever that is, and this verse just takes the emphasis off of that and puts it back on this quiet stillness and this mission that God has for every single one of us. And that if we place our lives in that, we can find this peace and this joy and this calmness throughout life that doesn't come from our own accord. That's just the stillness of God and the peace in a melody of an Irish song that for some reason just sticks with me differently than a modern worship song. That if I can truly see those lyrics and live them out, like my life is going to be better and I will be centered where God is leading me.
Yeah. And I love that. It's something that as Bradley and I were talking this week that he brought up. For some of us, the time of silence that we have every week in prayer and what Tom led us in, that's necessary to kind of center and meditate. But we love that we know that's not true for everyone. For the rest of us, it's massively distracting. And so for some of you, maybe don't be concerned with singing the song. It's not like you don't have anything to do during worship. Allow that. While there's other things going on, to be a time of meditation, to just hear and reflect, hang on each word and say, what is this saying? What is God speaking to me through this? It's beautiful. Well, let's thank Bradley. And Bradley and the band are actually going to go up now, and they're going to start getting set up. And while they do, I'm going to invite Katie to come on up, and she's going to do just a couple of announcements. And then after that, Sherry's going to come and lead us in the call to worship. So welcome, Katie.
Thanks, Kurt. Hey, guys. As Kurt said, I'm Katie. It's fun to have our order switched up this morning. It's a fun, different thing. So to begin with announcements, I'm going to talk about our Cascade card as you guys received it coming on in. If you guys want to take that bulletin out and start filling it out, that's a great way to keep updated on what's going on in the church, to be notified when we're changing series, to be notified with upcoming events and things like that. If it's your first time here, which it's fun to see some new faces today, people bringing friends in, go ahead and fill that card out, and then I'm going to be out in the lobby after church, and we'd love to get you guys a Cascade water bottle and just to be able to meet you face-to-face and be able to hear, you know, just your connection to Cascade. So also on that bulletin, there's a lot on there. There's a spot for prayer requests. So if you guys want to write down your prayer requests, we have a great prayer team that looks over those each week and is earnestly praying over our church and things like that. So you guys can go ahead and write those on there. If you guys came prepared to give this morning, there's envelopes on the back of the pews, and you guys can get those going. We'll have the ushers come forward in a moment, and they'll collect those Cascade cards as well as offering. So our first announcement is exciting. We have a class going on that's called What is the Bible? And that can sound really intimidating. To some people, it's intimidating to think about the Bible and to know everything. And some people are scholars and they know every date of which book was written and by who. And they'll bring up such and such scripture and it seems intimidating. This class is phenomenal. I went down there this morning and Colleen is teaching it. Yeah, it is a great class. Yeah, give it up for Colleen. And it's just, it's breaking it down and skimming it through and being able to ask questions and be able to hear it from a fresh new perspective. And so for the next 3 weeks, Colleen is going to be leading us in that class downstairs starting at 8:30. It's a little bit earlier, but at 8:30 and then, be walking us through that class. So join us down there. Ushers, if you guys want to come on forward, thank you. And then next week, we have the Cascade Hiking Group. So like last month, there was a hike, and then we're coming up with another one, which is exciting because it's getting so beautiful outside. So this week, we're going to Tyrone. Is that right? Tyrone Creek. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm not from here. Tryon, thank you, Tryon Creek. And so there's two options. You guys, we are going to meet at Clackamas Town Center on the Macy's side next to that On Point Community Bank. Or at 9:30, you can meet there. Or at 10 o'clock, meet straight at the park. And then depending on the group, we'll split up to have the hike meet what people want to do that morning. So come join us next week. Thanks, guys. I'm going to invite Sherry up for the call of worship.
Good morning. Would you please stand for the call to worship? Peace-loving, and peace-giving God, you bless us with your unfailing and unconditional love. We come to worship a loving God, and we rejoice in God's tender mercy towards us. Generous God, you pour blessings and grace upon us, forgiving us for our sin and shame. We come to worship a merciful God and rejoice in the wonder of forgiven and forgotten sin. Holy God, in the beauty of your peace and in the glory of your presence, all barriers are lowered. We come to worship and revere a glorious God who enriches the lives of the people and speaks peace into the hearts of all.
And I've talked enough today, but I just wanted to say that today in our worship time, I'd ask that you would participate how you find clarity and how you find peace and participation in what we're doing, not in what you think you're supposed to do, whether that's